RDU 98.5. Good morning, everyone, and I'm absolutely delighted to be carrying on Wigram Week here on the Burnt Breakfast with the Green Party candidate for Wigram, Richard Wesley. Good morning, Richard.
Kia ora.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Welcome to, good morning to Otatahi, Christchurch.
And, of course, start of school holidays, so keep yourself busy.
Running around, doing the parent taxi driver gig, and dropping kids off at various holiday programs, picking them up in the afternoon. I'm sure, like many other parents with kids, school-aged
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, it must be a funny old time. Anyway, so what I kind of like to do to really set us up for these wee interviews is I kind of really just get the candidates to talk about themselves a little bit, what their experiences are, why they got into politics. So take it away. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Ooh, a little bit about myself. Well, I guess I like to start by explaining to people that I grew up as an engineer. My dad was an engineer. I went to university and got my electrical engineering degree. And so we can do a great professional kind of what I did and what I worked on, but underneath, deep down, I'm actually a climber. I love climbing mountains. I've done a lot of mountaineering. I've climbed all over New Zealand and a lot of the wild places of New Zealand. I've also climbed around the world. And I guess that's the base of my real passion. When I was a teenager, so quite a few decades ago now, I hitchhiked to the South Island here. I hitchhiked when I was about 16 down here and wanted to visit Aoraki Mount Cook National Park. I wanted to see the mighty Aoraki. At that time, you could travel up the Ball Road, what's called the Ball Road. It ran alongside the Tasman Glacier, and it was a relatively easy scramble down the moraine wall, and you could be on the white ice of the Tasman Glacier.
Oh, wow.
So it was absolutely incredible. And so that's one of our mightiest glaciers and one of our mightiest national parks. If I take my kids back there today, that white ice is gone. It's far up the valley. The Ball Road where I used to stand has fallen into the massive lake. Ironically, there's now tourists that burn their petrol up and down in the fizz boats going up to try and reach the white ice of the receding, dying glacier. So I think that's something that people don't realise, is that climate change is accelerating, that it's right there on our doorstep, and as a climber, that's a really powerful it's not a symbol, it's a reality of climate change in New Zealand. So, you know, there's other things that I did as a 20-year-old going across ice climbing on the faces of Fox and Franz Josef glaciers. They've now retreated around the corner and are pulling their toes back out of the forest, out of our wonderful lush West Coast rainforest, and they're retreating back up into the mountains where it's still cold. But yeah, the climate is changing. It's finally arrived at our sort of urban areas with the West Coast, with some of the rain events that we've seen. People are getting used to roads being washed away. We've now got Queenstown having its own rain event. These things are going to accelerate, and they need hard action. They need action. They need a response from the government of the day. And that's why I'm asking everybody to party vote green. That's what I'm here for. That's what I got into politics for, was to grow the party vote of the Green Party so we can get more MPs into Parliament and enact more good green change.
Yeah, I can imagine being a climber is a very interesting perspective to have and would inform you more so than the average person, kind of really on the state of the climate.
Yeah, it's sort of like being the canary in the cage. So
I
sort of realised that, as a climber, you see things that perhaps don't, that other people don't realise, that the pace of change is so fast. And I guess when I was a teenager, it was always known that the glaciers were retreating, but that was on a scale of 1,000 years or 100 years or something that I wouldn't see in my lifetime.
Yeah.
So now that I've got to the age that I am, I'm suddenly going, oh, no, it's not on that scale anymore. It's very much a human life scale. So that's what's really concerning for me. Well, that's what gets me up in the morning and gets me passionate about this this kind of role of representing the Green Party in Wigram.
Well, good. And I love to hear your passion. I think that's a really great place to start, because climate change has been a conversation this election. Some would argue not big enough a conversation. And the Green Party, understandably, are, you know, known for their climate and environmental policies. To the everyday Kiwi living in, whether it be Wigram or just New Zealand in general, what does kind of the practical realities of green environmental policy look like? How does it change and shape their lives?
I think for a lot of people, they're after a silver bullet for the, for the climate crisis. They want to, they want the silver bullet. They want the red button. They can just push and the climate crisis will go away. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen. Unfortunately, it's a whole raft of things right across the board that we need to do to, first of all, get our emissions down so that we can be a responsible participant in the global community and making sure that we reduce our emissions. And some of those things are things that we can do right now. And so here in Otatahi, we've got a real lead by the local council building a whole lot of cycleways. We've also got the clean car discount that the Green Party fought for to ensure that we can transition to electric cars. So that's been a huge success, a runaway success. And we've seen the number of electric cars in New Zealand jump far, to a far greater extent than anybody could have predicted. So that's great. But people often say, oh, well, you know, electric cars have an impact as well. And yes, they do. So these steps are just the first steps that we need to do. So the real steps that we need to do is redesigning our communities and making sure that we have climate resilient communities. So we need to make sure that we live in compact communities where we have everything we need within a livable distance. I think they're sometimes called 15-minute cities. Everything within 15 minutes. We need clean clean transport, hopefully active transport. That's one of the things people forget about public transport. Not only is it cheaper than a car for many people, sometimes it's the only form of transport for people, but it's also a more active form of transport. You walk to the bus stop, you get the bus, you cruise to where you need to go, you walk to where you need to go. I've actually... my wife is French, and I've spent a lot of time on the public transport system of Paris, and it's amazing how much exercise you get down the stairs, along the corridor, down onto the subway, stand there for your 15-minute journal, out, up the stairs, back across. So, yeah, it's we need more active communities. You can see that while we're addressing climate change, we can also be addressing many of the other problems that we have, health problems, problems of community, problems of people interacting with others, not just sitting alone in a car, four-seater car, by themselves, stuck in traffic. So there's many things that we can do. One of the other areas that we're very keen on, which is one of these areas where you just go, oh, it's just a win and another win and another win. That's insulating our houses, making sure that everyone has a warm, affordable home and enough to live a good life. So a warm, affordable home means making sure that they're insulated, making sure that we have solar panels on the roof to reduce our electricity bill so that we can afford to heat them. All of these things are great for the environment, but they just happen to be also great for our communities.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good starting off point. How is Wigram poised to be one of these better, more active communities?
Yeah, I think that Wigram is an interesting electorate. It's very long and skinny, so it stretches all the way from Hornby, which really is, you know, well out in the west, and it goes all the way up and it touches almost the central city area, comes up to this sort of boundary. It's bordered on the south by the Banks Peninsula electorate and our wonderful Port Hills. And so it actually sits very much on a transport corridor. Currently, that transport corridor is a great big motorway and Brougham Street and a very, very busy Riccarton Road. These transport corridors are very much a product of the 1970s. This is where we build a road, we fill it with cars, and when it gets clogged, we try and build a bigger road. I actually grew up north of here. It's called Auckland. It's tried to build itself out of the great congestion problem by just building bigger and bigger motorways. And my children love visiting Spaghetti Junction and driving through the crisscross of motorways in Auckland. But I stare at Christchurch and I think, oh dear, let's not go that way. Let's try and build a city where people can get around by other means. We've got wonderful parks. We've got, you know, like I say, the Port Hills looking down on us. We need mass rapid transport. We need a corridor there for public transport that takes precedence precedence. And so it's great to see Environment Canterbury has been taking the lead on that recently with a big proposal called MRT, Mass Rapid Transport. And that creates a corridor, effectively, running from Hornby along through Riccarton, picking up the central city here, looping around by our new stadium, heading out up north to out towards Papanui. And so we need to work on that. We need to start planning our communities around that. We need to make sure that we have housing intensification, not off in the suburbs, on the fringes of our city, but we need intensification alongside that corridor, alongside that transport route. And then we need to work on it. We need to get electric buses on that route. We need to start configuring the road so that the buses get priority, that it becomes fast and efficient and cheap for everybody to get around. So that's one of the big things that I see Wigram being able to, you know, leapfrog other electorates here in Christchurch. We've got some great facilities, great schools, but we need to keep thinking in Wigram to the future, not the 3-year cycle, just the next little bit for me, but really thinking what we want Wigram to look like in 50 years' time. And obviously, I look at my kids growing up fast and think, you know, how can we shape the city so that we can pass on an electorate that's a really great place to live.
I'm glad you mentioned transport. It always is a huge topic every election. And I think there's a lot of people out there who love this idea of better public transport, but, you know, to sometimes roll their eyes. This conversation that's happened many times never seems to get done. We're not seeing it. What do you say to that and the Greens' plans? Are they doable? Are they there? Can we implement this relatively easily?
Absolutely. The Green plans are visionary. Basically, they're about pushing people to have the vision to take the first steps. So a lot of people scoff at light rail and sort of go, oh, light rail, never happen, you know. But we've got to take the first steps. The first thing is the corridor. The first thing is to get a bit of practice with an electric bus, and then we can move to light rail. Light rail is fast, it's efficient, it's economically viable. So many of these things the Green Party has demonstrated time and time again that there are efficient economic ways of funding these things. I think I've already mentioned the clean car discount. Mm-hmm. That was fully funded by polluters. We've got a whole lot of other initiatives underway, the biggest one of which is replacing an arc furnace at Glenbrook Steel Mill to reduce our emissions. Mm. That one, again, it's not paid for by you and me. It's paid for by the polluters, by the big carbon emitters in New Zealand. And people don't quite realise that an awful lot of the clever green policy that's been put in place by our Minister of Climate Change, James Shaw, has been really focused on really clever economic solutions to this transition that we need to take. So a lot of this is about transitioning our economy, transitioning from our high carbon emission economy and high impact, environmental impact economy, to a new, cleaner, greener way of living. Mm. It's very possible. The Greens have always been at the forefront, and that's another reason why I love being part of the Greens, part of really setting the direction of Parliament. That's why we need more Green MPs in Parliament. We need people to party vote Green to make sure that we have a great set of people setting the direction of government. Obviously, you know, even a very short time ago, I'm trying to remember back to when I first stood in 2011, five elections ago, but I mean, climate change, we were still discussing whether it was real or not, you know.
Yeah, and so I'm
just amazed how far we've come. So now we've moved on from that discussion. That one's just, you know, relegated to the bottom drawer. Nobody would pull that out now. No respectable journalist would go, now about this climate change. You know, every journalist is asking every single politician's opinion on climate change. And so this is where the conversation's moved. The Green Party's led that conversation to now. We need to continue to lead it into the future. I guess the real question now that people should be asking is how are you going to reduce emissions? How are you going to make our cities more climate resilient. Because at the moment we have some parties that seem to just put climate change on their pledge card, but have no mechanism to actually get there.
Yeah,
and so that's where we need the Green Party to be providing the actual solutions to moving forward. But I guess I just want to jump in here saying, well, obviously it's something that gets me out of bed in the morning, the climate change issue. And the carbon emission issue, but we've got to bring everybody along on this transition. And so that's the other thing that I think people have to remember, is that the Green Party's second pillar, that we call it, is social responsibility. It's making sure that everybody gets a fair go, everybody has enough to live a good life, everybody gets a warm, affordable home to live in. So this is really important, that people often think, oh, I wish, you know, couldn't you just concentrate just on the climate? And the Green Party's not about that. It's about bringing everybody along. So, again, we've got some amazing policies this election that I'm really proud to promote, and one of the biggest one that's is the free dental care for all. It's one where we're actually looking after everybody equally and making sure that everybody has access to free dental care. We've also got a minimum income policy, $385 a week, to ensure that nobody's left behind on this transition. There will be winners and losers, there will be changes, there will be transitions, and we need to make sure that everybody's looked after.
Yeah, I'm really glad you took it that direction, because it's so easy to get kind of caught up in climate and environment, I think. But yeah, the big things that I think people are concerned about at the moment are really cost of living and crime seems to be a huge one as well. In terms of the cost of living, well, what is the Green solution to this problem?
The cost of living is about making sure that everybody can afford to live a decent, respectable life. And so the cost of living is about making sure that everybody has the income. I'm always interested by some people's suggestions that somehow growing the economy or, trickle down, all of these other phrases that people use, oh, if people just went out and got a job. A lot of people have a lot of different life stories and a lot of places that they came from.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people definitely need a helping hand. And we believe that ensuring that everybody has a respectable health, a respectable income stream is what we need. I've obviously had a varied career. I started out as an electrical engineer, but then I actually moved down to Christchurch to work for the New Zealand Alpine Club and follow my passion for the mountains.
Cool.
So I spent many years there. Then I actually worked for Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, and spent 4 years traveling the world with Doctors Without Borders, which is an aid organization. So I've worked in a lot of different countries, Ethiopia, South Sudan, Senegal, Cameroon, seen a lot of things, met my wife over there as well, and brought her home again. She's a GP, and I think I'm well placed to say that there's no reason for poverty in New Zealand. There's nothing stopping New Zealand wiping out poverty, and so poverty is completely unacceptable in all its forms, morally unacceptable. But we're lucky to live in such a wonderful, rich, amazing country of Aotearoa, and we just need to say no. Poverty is a political choice, and so that's what is really in clear relief with the Green Party policy this election with the wealth tax. So we can adjust our tax system, we can rebalance our tax system to ensure that all of those on different incomes pay their fair share of the tax burden, and we make sure that that isn't a tax burden. Actually, that's something that we're proud of, that we make sure that we're are proud as a nation to wipe out poverty in New Zealand. We still have far too high rates of kids going to school hungry, kids coming from households that don't have enough to put on the table, food on the table for kids. The lunches in school program has been hugely successful, and at the school that my children attend, there's often breakfast provided for kids as well that are coming to school.
Yeah, right.
Kids can't learn if they're hungry, so we've got to address that problem. We've got to make sure that people have the ability to better themselves, to take on education, to do what's important in their family situation at the time, and not fall back into a cycle of poverty where you get people, families with multiple kids that have the two parents that have both have to work jobs full time, 40 hours a week, often more than 40 hours a week, and still don't have enough to make ends meet. So all of these things, you know, we are accepting as a nation at the moment when we don't have to. We just need to party vote green.
I'm going to take that kind of positive, optimistic note there and ask now, what do you think are the biggest opportunities for the Wigram electorate? What's its strongest positives?
The strongest positives. Well, I think obviously where it's located here in Otatahi. So Wigram, you know, has the world on its doorstep. It's got the central city at one end. It's got the wonderful Port Hills at the other. I think what Wigram needs to really concentrate on is its facilities. We've got Napunawai, obviously, in the middle there, that this wonderful sports facility that's been created. I guess it's one of the things that has been, the phoenix rising out of the ashes. We've obviously had the earthquakes.
We had
the trauma of the earthquakes. We, you know, Christchurch lost an awful lot. We lost people. We lost buildings. We lost some of the things that we linked our identity to, that we grew up with. Those things are gone. We've got new areas and new places to link our identity to, and some of those are, you know, form now part of the Wigram identity. And so the wonderful sports facilities at Napunawai is one area that I would point at to be proud of as somebody that lives in the Wigram electorate. But I'd be even more proud of being part of a city that is adapting and, again, building off a large-scale event like the earthquakes, and we're building back better. And so Christchurch has got a big head start on the rest of the country. We ended up going through the sadness and trauma of people losing their houses through the red zoning exercises in areas that we simply couldn't justify rebuilding in because of the earthquake. Yeah. Just so happens that happens to overlap with where we probably would have had to retreat from in the future through climate change and rising sea levels. So because of that, we've actually taken a huge leap forward, and we've actually got a head start on the rest of New Zealand. So I think Wigram should be proud of being part of a city that is well-placed for the future.
Really beautifully said there. I agree with that. Final question, and I'd love to ask this one. We are here on RDU, and we are passionate about music here at RDU and the arts. So, quite simply, what music are you listening to at the moment?
What am I listening to at the moment? I seem to be rediscovering a bit of Tim Minchin
interesting.
He was on a show on Netflix, wasn't he? What was that called? Upside Down, I think. I was like, oh yeah, I must go back and listen to some of his stuff. So I've been sharing a bit of the Rock and Roll Nerd. It's just hilarious. I've been belting that out to the kids, going, here we go. This is why you practice your guitar and you practice your piano. You could be the next Tim Mitchell. There's a blast from the past.
No, that is a blast from the past. I like that. It's not someone I've thought about in a while. Well, Richard, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And it's great to hear your passion for the climate and the area and Otatahi. And yeah, your perspective is really fascinating. So thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Party vote green.